Well, South Africa in the grips of a third wave of COVID-19. There was some hope that it wouldn't get as bad as it has, but we're nowhere near the peak, it would seem. Dr. Richard Friedland, who is the Group Chief Executive of Netcare, on the line to us from Johannesburg. How are you guys holding up, Richard?
Bruce, it's extremely tough at the moment, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, elaborate on extremely tough.
Well, I think we're in a massive surge, an unprecedented surge here in the Gauteng. We were always concerned at the start of the COVID pandemic that the most populous and the most densely populated by square meter or kilometer, whichever metric you use, being the Gauteng, would face a surge of this nature, and we are now seeing it. And until last week, we were all merrily going along with this view. Experts were informing us that, yes, there would be a wave, but it would be lower for longer. And that trend line was broken on Wednesday last week when we saw over 6,900 or 7,900 cases in one day, 1,000 more than the peak on the 8th of January this year. And those numbers have continued to steadily rise. We saw record numbers of 8,400 on Saturday, and on Sunday, 8,600. And I'm afraid that these are numbers demonstrating that absent a lockdown, a level 5 lockdown in the Gauteng, we may not see the end of the surge for some time to come.
And that's a big appeal. And I've seen David Makura, the Gauteng Premier, talking about higher levels of restraint on people's movements. I mean, because I was driving through an area today and I just looked around me and was stunned by the fact that people weren't wearing masks. There was this absolute ambivalence
Bruce,
basic protocols.
I think you only have to look at the Google Mobility Index weekly average, and this is produced, you can get it out there on the www.covid19sa.org website, and you will see that there are activity levels in grocery and pharmacy and retail and recreation that are higher than they were, certainly in grocery and pharmacy, before the initial lockdown in March of last year. And I think that we face a simple choice. If government isn't going to lock down the Gauteng, we have to self-regulate ourselves. I can't make that appeal more stronger.
I mean, talk to me about the sort of pressure that your hospitals are under in terms of the availability of beds, particularly when it comes to high care and in ICU.
Well, there are about 1,800 beds, critical care beds across the province, the Gauteng province specifically. We have, in the private sector, we have approximately 50% of them. And I can tell you that right across the board, across all private sector participants, there is an urgent demand for high care or critical care beds. And there is only a certain amount of ventilators and only a certain amount of resources and staff to provide that care. And, you know, we're dealing virtually with something that I would classify as a mass casualty situation. The difficulty or the difference in a mass casualty situation, Bruce, is that there's a train accident or a stadium collapses or there's crush injuries on a massive scale, and you deal with it over a couple of hours and it resolves. We're dealing with a mass casualty situation on an ongoing basis across the Gauteng since last week, at least on Wednesday, Thursday last week.
Why are we less prepared than perhaps we could have been? Is it because of the experts' forecast that it would be lower for longer?
No, we are actually incredibly well prepared.
Okay.
There are great learnings from the first and second wave, but the sheer numbers of a highly dense population and a significant population of the numbers breaking a trend line, we are 30% higher than we were in the second wave, and there is no evidence that we're peaking yet. It's the sheer numbers that are overwhelming facilities at the moment. It's not that facilities, either in the public or private sector, are not prepared. We've done an enormous amount around oxygenation. Treatment protocols have improved, but there are a lot more people getting infected. Now, it may be that the winter climate, and this has been shown internationally, people can't socially distance, they're indoors, ventilation is poorer. But irrespective of how well-prepared facilities are at the moment, the sheer numbers may well overwhelm the system.
And it doesn't help that we've had such a delay to our vaccination programs either.
No, of course not. And, you know, one would have hoped by now we would have been ahead of, in terms of vaccination, but we're not. And one hopes that the other provinces that may experience a third wave, such as the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape, and then potentially KwaZulu-Natal, can at least get as many people vaccinated as possible. I think the Western Cape, according to our forecast, and again, take that with a pinch of salt because no one really knows, is probably 3 to 4 weeks away from where we are.
That is a terrifying prognosis for people in the Western Cape, because also in the Western Cape, one looks at behaviour and, you know, I don't think the behaviour patterns are that much better. You're calling for a hard lockdown. How long would a lockdown need to be, in your estimation, to bring this thing under control?
Well, we certainly need to be closing schools, and there's this mythology around the fact that schools aren't transmitters of the virus. They certainly are. And, you know, you only have to go back again to the lesson of the Spanish flu, influenza of 1918. The cities that were successful in completely containing the outbreak of influenza were the ones that closed down schools early, public gatherings, religious gatherings, and the cities. And we are seeing more and more schools being impacted. We know that government schools are only closing, I think it's the 9th of July, and we believe that schools need to be closed down. Yes, children themselves may not be that badly impacted by the illness, but they pass it on to parents, they pass it on to caregivers, they pass it on to grandparents, and we think that that's problematic.
Is there any prospect? I mean, is this a discussion that's being held at any sort of senior level, or is this simply an appeal from yourselves as frontline workers at the very edge of what is happening in this third wave?
Well, I don't think it's an appeal just from frontline workers. I think there are many organizations that are saying that we need a form of lockdown. If it's not lockdown that is regulated by government, then people need to self-regulate themselves. And to the point that you made whilst I was interrupting you of driving through an area and seeing people not wearing masks. You know, I'm in our COVID units virtually on a daily basis visiting patients, and it is horrific. And come and interview a patient struggling to breathe or who's got an oxygen mask on or high-flow nasal oxygen. That novelty wears off within minutes. They've got to lie there for 24 hours a day, day in and day out. And it's extremely, it's an agonizing disease.
And we're hearing so many horror stories. I mean, I don't know if it's possible at this stage. I mean, we're seeing a rise in cases in other parts of the world, the so-called Delta variant, or to regionalize it, the variant that originated in India, which seems to be, even in well-vaccinated societies, be causing higher levels of infection, the UK most notably. This Delta variant, do we know which variant is on the loose at present that is causing this particularly worse outbreak than we anticipated?
Well, Bruce, the experts are telling us that it's not the Delta variant and it's not the Alpha variant, but it's the same variant called the Beta variant that we saw in the second wave. The serotyping that we've done tends to confirm that. We think that you know, there were a lot less people affected in the Gauteng during the second wave. And so the herd immunity, or the amount of people that are immune, naturally immune within the Gauteng is less. But there's no evidence at the moment from experts that is suggesting there's another variant at play here.
Which is encouraging from the point of view of vaccine efficacy. If we could just get the vaccines in people's arms sooner rather than later, we run the opportunity of stemming this thing.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, Bruce, is that the single most important initiative in our country, the single most important humanitarian initiative, is to vaccinate as many people as possible to achieve herd immunity. And absent that, there is no magic formula to stop the scourge of coronavirus.
Dr. Richard Friedland, Chief Executive at Netcare this evening.